Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated if you would like. We're going to sing this reverently to the Lord. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. If we're going to get to the heart of worship, there are certain elements that must be present in the true heart of worship. One of them is deep reverence, and that's why the two worship words that occur or reoccurring, they occur over and over in the book of Revelation. Holy and worthy. Holy and worthy. Holy, holy, holy art thou, and worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Holy means that we give due reverence to this person whose presence we're invited into. Lord's Prayer, pattern prayer for us begins with our Father which art in heaven, but the reverence has to be there, has to be there. Hallowed be thy name. Set apart, reverenced as holy. There's a controversy going on in the courts, and I don't know how it'll all play out, but there's a Christian judge, evidently a lady, and in one of the states, a lady decided to name her son Messiah something, middle name, and then the last name Messiah as a first name for her son. And it was not uncommon for Jesus in Jesus's day, because Jesus was like Tom or John in our culture right now. It was named after Joshua, one of the great champions and defenders of Israel. Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus. But what separated Jesus from all the Joshuas and all the Jesuses of his day? Christ, the word Christ, the anointed one. He is the Messiah, the promised one and the anointed one. Jesus, Yeshua, deliverer, savior is what that means. But when they put Jesus with Cristo, Christ, it meant he is the anointed one. And not only was he the anointed one, he is the appointed one. He is the Messiah. So the judge ruled, you can't name your child. Oh, they'll probably win, but I like this judge. Because on CNN, with all the cameras rolling, she went counterculture, didn't worry about being politically correct. And they said, why did you, can't forbid her to name her child anything she wants to. And you know what she said? She said, Messiah is not a name. Messiah is a title. And it is a title given to only one person. And that's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When you see that on CNN, woo! Makes you want to stand up and say there's still some people in this world and in this nation who have not bowed their knees to Baal. Can you say amen? So I didn't just applaud this judge. I prayed for her. And even though they might overturn her judgment, she's on record as saying, the law may overturn me. That's fine, but I will not back down. There's only one that can wear this title. Only one. And his name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. What an encouragement today. In the heart of worship, there is the holiness of God and the reverence for him. My son, sing this last song, but my son, he's taking my grandson to McDonald's to cook breakfast at 5 this morning. So he said, I went to bed at 12, but I couldn't sleep. So he got up and he watched Christian TV till 4:30, whatever. And he said, I just stayed up all night. And so when I was going out to get my briefcase out of the vehicle, he stopped me, and for 30 minutes we talked about the things that he saw. Someone was doing some real good teaching on the authenticity of the Bible and the way the Old Testament confirms everything in the New Testament, and how truth is truth is truth is truth. And he said, Dad, I just love that. I I know the most important thing is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but he said it's just so good to know that all of this is so very verifiable. And he was excited. I'm excited to see people excited about God's truth and about God's Word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is moving. God is moving. God is moving on in my family. God's moving on my daughter-in-law. God's moving on my granddaughter. Praise God. Amen. We've been so distant so long. And I got to dance with my granddaughter. And after performing the wedding, me and her. Look like Frankenstein. I need a few lessons. Either one of you guys give me some lessons before it ever happens again. It's been a long time. Amen. But God is good. I can't help but smile today. I just can't help but rejoice today. I look at people that have lost that. They've lost that. They've lost it somewhere. I don't know where you lost it. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. There's more to this thing than just being a victim your whole life. Amen. There is victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. There is victory. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Glory to God. You're in a safe place. You're in a guarded place. You are in a mighty fortress, saith the Lord. You are where I can keep you. I will defend you. And I will fight your enemies in your behalf, saith God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Shelabakasole, salabaroshala, selabarianda, kolobosanda daba, nenda daba roshala bakia, menda daba roshala bara, menda daba kisala baba, meshala. I am so glad that we are going back to the heart of worship. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. If you want to be somber, you're unbiblical. Amen. If you want to always be so serious that there's no joy in your life, you are unbiblical. Amen. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. All ye lands. It's no exception. If you're going to be a servant of God, there should be a joy in it. It shouldn't just be a job. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Enter his gates with gratitude, thanksgiving. I saw a church sign. Most of them are really crazy, but I saw a good one the other day. Amen. That I can use what was on that sign. What if the only thing you had left this morning was what you thanked God for yesterday? Some of you wouldn't have a car. You'd look out there, where'd my car go? Oh, yes, and the sun would be beating down hot and said, where in the world is my air conditioning system? We got back from witnessing and you know, yesterday and to the neighborhood. Everybody come in here and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. And they're thanking God for the air conditioning in this building. It was hot out there yesterday. Praise God.
And you know what? Our light bill this month was $120.
$120. Dollars. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Everybody expected to be $550.
Well, it normally is, brother.
And it normally is. But God is good. God is good. Listen, I got to finish this. And yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. There's a reason for the blessing. In Deuteronomy 28, there's a reason for the cursing. There's a reason that God can legitimately bless his people, and there's a reason why he couldn't bless his people. There's always a reason. There's always something going on. It's never God's unfaithfulness. Amen. It's always choices that we make. And to, you know, if you don't own the responsibility for your choices, you're always going to be blaming somebody, someone, some church, some preacher, some mama, some daddy, some sister, some brother. Somebody is going to take the rap. No one will ever get victory while blaming someone else for defeat. You can't even blame the devil for it. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody. That includes him and his cohorts. Can you say amen? I want to take full responsibility for the blessings of the Lord or the lack of them in my life. We used to sing the song, "It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." Can you say amen? God is faithful. I refuse to accuse him of unfaithfulness. I need him too bad to start going down that road of doubt and unbelief. Amen. 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 And the devil is just doing what he's always done and always will do. Can you say amen? He's the enemy. And he attacks. But we have armor that we must take. You got to do something. I got to do something. We can't keep blaming. The blame game just won't work anymore. Listen, he hath made me glad more than in the time that their corn and their wine did increase. He said, when the corn and wine, when there was bumper crops and the whole culture began to rejoice because that meant they were going to be enriched monetarily. He said, he has outdone that. He has made me glad in Psalm 4 more than in the time when their corn, all that's material and all that is subject to plagues and tornadoes and droughts and locusts. Amen. But he said, my blessing is secure. No matter what comes or what goes, my blessing is secure. So the Bible said, serve the Lord with gladness, all ye lands. And the gladness is based on a gratitude. It's based on gratitude. It's based on thankfulness. Amen? Amen. Oh, how many want that kind of life? I want that life. I've seen the other life. I've seen depressed, defeated, distracted, defrauded Christians. Can you say, man, that are living below every privilege and promise that's in the Bible? Simply because we're always grumping about something. Complaining. Our service to the Lord is not a happy event. It's just something it's our religious duty. And you know what Jesus said to all those people that are looking at it as such a chore? He said, when you've done everything that I command you. Everything that I've commanded you. You're still an unprofitable servant. That's what Jesus said. I know it sounds strange. You're still an unprofitable servant. You've only done that, he said, that was your duty to do. You never did anything above and beyond the call of duty. You didn't do it because you love me and you're glad to serve me. You just did it because, boy, you're going to whoop me if I don't. He doesn't want you to serve him because you're afraid of chastisement. He wants you to serve him because you love him. And you're glad to serve him. Serve the Lord with gladness, all ye lands. How do you do that? Enter his gates with gratitude. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts by putting vocalization to what's in your heart with praise. Hallelujah. And come before his presence with singing. Hallelujah. The heart of worship involves the reverence, deep reverence with awe and affection. The fear of the Lord, the reverence for God. And then it involves the second thing is gratitude. Worthy is the second word that keeps reoccurring in the book of Revelation. He's worthy. He's worthy. One of the worst explanations and expositions of Scripture I have ever heard. And I've heard some doozies and bad ones. is offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, and I bring the sacrifice of praise. In other words, my mind is not on him, it's on me. Me and my week, me and my day, me and my hurt, me and my pain, me and my everything. But you know, I'm going to be big today. I don't feel like praising God. I'm thinking about me and my problem. I don't really want to praise God, but I better praise God, because when everybody else praises God, I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. Can you say, man? Are you listening to me? So I'm going to be big, and oh, I don't feel like praising God, but I'm going to give him praise anyway. I'm going to offer him the sacrifice. It's a big sacrifice for me to praise God, because I don't feel like it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm the truth that sets you free. Shout now. If you want them walls to fall. Hallelujah. Praise God. With the high praises of God in my mouth. This is what the psalm, I'll leave the sheath on it. This is a dangerous weapon. With the high praises of God in my mouth and a sword. And a sword in my hand. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Woo! Kings will be bound and princes will be bound with fetters of iron. Woo! Kings and princes out in that nether world, that dark world of Satan's domain, when we get a hold of the word and get a hold of a heart of glad praise unto God, amen, it's going to bind them up. Hallelujah. The high praise. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't ever learn to serve him with gladness, you're going to serve him with sadness. And you're going to be telling people what Jesus can do, and they're going to begin to believe it till they take a good look at you. Can you say amen? And after they get a good look at you, without your church face on. Amen. Just think, I'm looking at the best you got right now. Amen. This is the best, Sister Venable. Amen. The real you is out there on that job on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's out there interacting with the person at the 7-Eleven, the shop and go, and the cleaners. They don't see your church face. Amen. I look at the church face, and it ain't always very pretty. Just think what they're looking at. He hath made me glad. More. Listen, we're going to sing this song about the heart of worship, because it's all tied into the sermon. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, there is no fruit. Come on now, see, this is the only thing, this is what gets them up and this is what casts them down. They're outside the kingdom. They don't know what you know. They don't know who you know. They don't have what you have. Can you say amen? So as life ebb and flows, the yin and the yang. Amen. There are going to be some good days. There are going to be some bad days. Somebody is going to have one of the worst days of their life today, and somebody else is going to have one of the best days of their life. But I'm going to tell you something. That person that had the best day had better not take it for granted, because there's another day coming. Amen. It's all, it comes in. It goes out. Life goes up and down, in and out. There's got to be a consistency somewhere that no matter what happens today, tomorrow, that Jesus is still Lord. God is still faithful. The word is still true. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So that praise is not intermittent. It's not something we do when we feel good. We don't. Prayer is not something we do when we feel goose pimples or feel good. Amen. It's something we do because we know God is listening. Hallelujah. And it becomes consistent and persistent. Praise comes from a heart filled with gratitude. But when you get in the way, I get in the way. I don't sense the gratitude. I'm thinking about me, my problem, my need, my pain, this, my ministry. I've seen people so caught up in trying to find their ministry that they can't just worship with everybody else, because they're out in some other world. What is God saying to me? What does God say to me? Had someone come to church here one time, and I would never say this, but they said it. I guess it's honesty. I really don't know why I'm here. And I thought, well, if you don't know why you're here, I don't know why you're here either. Amen? How can you even be here if you don't even... Well, maybe you came. Maybe you came to hear the Word tonight. See, I didn't have time to get into the... Maybe you need the Word of God just like anybody else needs the Word of God. Maybe you need to come out of your cubicle. Can you say amen? Maybe the Word of God is for you too. Maybe you needed to worship with us tonight. We worship in this place. Worship is important to God. It ought to be important to you. Maybe you were sent here to worship with us. Maybe you need to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. You're not full grown. I'm not either. Amen? Boy, it's something. Amen. When you're a pastor for 40 years, you've seen it all, you've heard it all, and then you see more and you hear more. Amen. You think you've heard it all. You ain't heard it all. I ain't heard it all. But there are so many victims in the kingdom that God has called and commissioned and provided all that is necessary to become victors. Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory in Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, get out of the inconsistency. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your work is not in vain in the Lord. Can you say amen? There are people, Sean, I am convinced, that will never change. I've known them for years and they haven't changed. I call them concrete Christians. Thoroughly mixed and permanently set. Can you say amen? Ain't going to change. They'll stare you down with God moving by His Spirit. They'll look and they won't get in. They won't get in. And most of the time they won't even get out.
Yeah.
Can you say amen? They just. Here I am. Bless me if you can. But if God can't, I sure can't. Can you say, man, what in the world am I supposed to do with you? Amen. If God can't bless you, won't bless you, what? I don't know what the deal is here. I do know one thing. I know if we will serve Him like He said to serve Him, love Him like He said to love Him. Amen. Praise God. His blessings will come upon us and they will overtake us. Can you say, man? All things are yours. All that I have provided belongs to you. It is not Satan, and it is not sin. I'm not saying this in the spirit anymore. This is me under the anointing. This is not part of the interpretation. It's not Satan. It's not even sin. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power over all of the power of the enemy. I'm telling you, it's not Satan. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that means to run as in panic. Can you say amen? What more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Though we are in the flesh, we are not of the flesh. Can you say, man? The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In my name, you will cast out devils. You will tread on serpents. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. As my Father sent me, so send I you. so it ain't Satan that is holding back revival. And it ain't sin. It's not sin. Where sin doth abound, God does hyperabound, is the Greek. Superabound. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So if it isn't Satan, and it isn't that it's too sinful for revival to occur, where is the problem? My people. Judgment doesn't begin in Atlantic City. The Seminole gambling shack down the road. And it's a shack. If my people, I've seen prayer rallies without a call for repentance to the church. They're empty. They will not affect this nation. Hundreds of people gather together to pray for America. We need to pray for revival in the church if we care about America. Can you say, man, they stand on the steps and they talk about prayer. And they don't quote this old scripture. If they do, they just pass over the vital part of it. We are His people. We know His name. Hallelujah. We know who to call on. We know who we're talking to. Amen. But it's not enough to know it. Amen. There's something He requires. If my people that are called by my name would humble themselves. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And we need grace before we ask for grace for others. Can you say amen? When we're too proud to repent, we're too proud to ever get in an altar. Can you say amen? We're too proud to own our sin. We're too proud to admit when we are wrong. Amen. And we're just saying the world and the devil and the sinners out there. Honey, it's laid at the door of the church. That's where the responsibility is. It's laid at your door. It's laid at my door. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. Not just, this is more than a faith issue. This is a heart issue. Humble yourself and pray. Humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you. When He sees you're ready and pride won't enter in to interrupt what He wants to do in us and for us and through us, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up in due season. Not when you think you're ready, but when He knows you're ready. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 If my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I've been praying for my son for years and his family. God moved him next door to us. Dad, can I borrow your lawnmower? Okay, fine. Dad, can I borrow, do you have any gas for the lawnmower? Sure, you can have that too. Dad, do you have any paper towels? Yeah, there's some in the shed. We try to stock them. Dad, if you got paper towels, you got any toilet paper out there too? Yeah, I got some toilet paper out there too. You can have the lawnmower, the gas, the paper towels, and the toilet paper.
Charcoal. I'll get charcoal.
Oh, Dad, I only need a little bit of charcoal. Okay, I got charcoal. Dad, that charcoal won't hardly light. Do you have any lighter out there in the shed? It says match light, but it's draw dampness. I said, that's because I used half of it and the dampness has got in it. But yeah, I got charcoal lighter in the shed. I know he had matches, but anyway, moving right along. He don't smoke, but his wife does. Anyway, you know, it's just so really, when my phone rings or Alan comes to the door, and I love him with all my heart, but when he comes, I'm thinking, he needs something. He needs something. I don't know what he's... I'm trying to think ahead, you know, go ahead and get something that... So he's not seeking my face. He's not coming just to see Daddy. Come on, Daddy, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody with children knows what I'm talking about. Oh, Dad, I need to speak to you. Hey, Mom, is Dad there? Yeah, I just want to spend time with my Daddy. Yeah, right. No. He come to me, said, "Is mom there?" And I know, okay, he's got some, mom's got money, something. Money. Yeah, mom got the big purse. Amen. She's my bookkeeper and accountant and all of that. Seeking his face. Seeking his face. Seeking his face. You know what David said? David said, "When thou saidest, seek my face, I said, thy face will I seek, O God." That's not just seeking to get your need met. That is coming into his presence. The wonderful thing about it is, when you come into his presence, whatever you need, he has. Hallelujah. Amen. But it don't start out with just coming to get something from God. It comes like my granddad Venable, my daddy. "I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there." If you seek his face, it's his presence, it's his person, not just his power, not just what you need from him, it's him, himself. Not seeking him immediately, even for the revival that is so desperately needed in America, but seeking him because he has invited us to seek him. Amen. "Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." He said, if you're going to seek me, you're going to have to change your attitude. Can you say amen to gratitude? Can you say amen? Enter his gates with what? Gratitude. He requires it. As a matter of fact, if I get to read what I think the Lord wants me to preach, and I'm already into it, if I get that far, amen, that attitude of gratitude that was missing in Israel caused them to miss the blessings of God upon that nation. That attitude, you may have brought it to church this morning. If it disqualified them, darling, it's going to disqualify you. And when I see you next Sunday, I'm going to see your best face. And even at your best Sunday face, it is not going to cover and conceal the depression, the defeat, and the despair that is in your personal life and walk with God. I'm telling you today, I believe we need to raise the bar so that you don't just come to church and go home without an encounter with the living God, without something occurring in your heart that will change your attitude. Amen. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Come before his presence with singing. Amen. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. That's why Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord sometimes, always." And that's why David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth." Can you say amen? Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness, all ye lands. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not just my favor, my face, my face, my face, my face. It would be so wonderful for someone to come. I work with pastors. I've been meeting for almost 5 years now, going on our fifth year. I meet with three of them every Tuesday. But I go to luncheons where there's 50, 60, 70 of them, 80, sometimes 100 of them. Pastors' phones ring, and when they do, generally speaking, and it's okay, it's pastor's job description, somebody, other pastors don't call you to say, "I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I love you and God loves you." If you get a call, somebody needs something you got. Forty years. I'm still waiting for that call, Brother Venable. But then who do I call? I'm trying to make it my business. I have the opportunity just to bless a preacher somewhere. Just let him know he's important to God and to people. To himself, for who he, not because he's a pastor, but because he's a person for whom Christ died and that God loves him. I had a guy call me the other day. Hey, amen. He's an ambassador for All Pro Pastors. And he called me the other day, and they've become international. His phone, he had moved here from California. His phone was still routed through California. So I thought he was calling me from California. And he called the other day, and he said, "My name is Pastor so-and-so." He said, "Brother Robert," he said, "how are you today?" I said, "I'm fine, thank you." He said, "Well, listen, I just wanted to call and ask you if you had any prayer needs whatsoever, anything that I could pray about." He said, "And I wanted to," and I said, "Well, you know, there's a couple of things." But I said, "You know, God is being so good. He's doing so much right now. I'm so appreciative of the Lord." And he said, "Yeah, and I'll call for a second reason." Amen. "Not only to pray with you if you had any prayer needs, but to tell you that God loves you so much, and what you're doing for the Lord is so appreciated by the Lord." He said, "I don't know what the chemistry is between you and your congregation and other people, but I know the God that called you, amen, loves you, amen." And I'm just sitting there saying, come on. If I had a tail, I would have been wagging that bad boy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'd have been wagging. That tail would have been going like a hell of, my dog has two tails. He's got joy, and then he's got joy unspeakable in his tail. Joy is like this. It's just back and forth. That's joy. But joy unspeakable is like a helicopter. So when he gets the joy unspeakable, it goes round and round like that. I don't know what your pit bull, your big old bulldog, your big pit bull, Chocolate. I don't know what he does to express joy. He ain't got no tail, has he? He does have a tail. I didn't notice. Some people chop them off. But he wags it too, don't he? Yeah, yours has a tail too. He knows how to wag it. Well, we got a tongue. We don't have a tail. We got a tongue. And we need to know how to wag it. In the right way.
Right.
Hallelujah. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his court with praise. With the high praises of God in my mouth and a sword in my hand. Kings and princes shall be bound up with fetters of iron while I am worshiping and serving God with gratitude and gladness. He is binding up enemies out in that spiritual realm.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Hallelujah.
He's binding them up. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Can you say amen? God inhabits the praises of his people. So we need to get our praise on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Satan wants to suppress your praise. He wants to take away that heart of gratitude. He wants to disqualify you, amen, and defraud you of the blessing that God has already covenanted to place upon you. And Christians living out from under the covering and the canopy. You know what he said he would do? As we travel as pilgrims and strangers down here, and the Bible calls us that. Peter talks to those dispersed Jews. They left home. They left the vocations. They had to go running for their life. And he said, "I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers, passing through, sojourners, passing through this world." In the book of Psalms, it said, "He will hide you in his pavilion." I remember when I first started interceding for everyone individually in here. I said, "Lord," and I call you by name. I say, "Hide her. Hide him in your pavilion. In your pavilion." And I didn't even realize what I was praying. So I thought, I'm going to go look that up. What's this deal about the pavilion anyway? When a king traveled from one place to another, there was no Sheraton or Hilton along the way. They couldn't check in, amen, to the Hilton. They couldn't even check in to the Eight Days Inn. There was nothing like that along those routes. So they took a portable, beautiful tent with all the trimmings. Amen. And when they stopped, they set it up for one person. Amen. To come and walk in and sleep in. No skeeters. No camel fleas. Can you say amen? No fleas of a camel. One guy got mad. He was kind of biblically based, but he got mad. And he didn't want to curse anybody or anything. But he said, may the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your bedclothes. That's close to a curse, isn't it? Anyway. And that's his pavilion. It was set up for the king to stand in, sleep in, get out of the sun, be served in. And you know what God said to us weary travelers down here? I have a pavilion, and I will hide you in my pavilion, in the courts of the king. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So I said, Lord, hide Pamela in your pavilion. Hide Pamela. Hide Joe in your pavilion. He's a weary pilgrim traveling this old world. But give it. Listen, when you go in his pavilion, it's like the world is behind. This is a right in the middle of the desert. There's cool water. There's something beautiful. There's rest. There's restoration. Amen. And then I began to pray for you individually, and I said, Lord, spread your skirts over him. Spread your skirts over her. Wow. You know, I was praying things, and I didn't fully appreciate. And I just went back and studied the scripture about the significance of when the skirt or the robe was spread over somebody. Went to the book of Ruth. Ruth, yeah. Ruth, yeah, that too, absolutely. That covering. Oh, my son, that I baroshala. Hallelujah. Cover them with a covering of your spirit. Amen. And spread your skirt. Hide in your pavilion. Spread your skirt over them. Ruth's mother-in-law said, I want you to go into Boaz's bedchamber. I want you to sit at the foot of his bed. And when he wakes up in the morning, she was looking for him to have mercy and compassion upon her. Amen. And you know what he did when he woke up in the morning? He took his robe. He took his robe. And he covered her head with it. And you know what that meant? That meant that I am going to take her under my provision, my protection. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to me. Listen, Carrie. Everybody knew the story of Ruth. And they knew when he covered her, then he took her for his own, provided for her, protected her. And out of this widowed woman and her widowed grand, you know what her husband's mama, her mother-in-law said, God has dealt bitterly with me. I've lost my husband. Amen. Here we are having to glean in the fields, but not just any field. It was Boaz's field. A kinsman Redeemer had the opportunity. If you lost your husband, I'm a brother, I take you as my wife in his behalf. Amen. And you know who she thought that they had come to a bitter end. Instead, it was a beautiful fulfillment of what God had eternally purposed, because there was a young man born out of these marriages down the bloodline. His name was David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And through David came a bloodline. Amen. And one day there was a Savior, praise God, that is called the Son of David. And it all went back to God's grace, God's purpose, and a covering that was provided for people that didn't know where they were going to go and what they were going to do. But Boaz covered her head. And when he did, he said, I now take you, amen, as mine. I will protect you. I will provide for you. There's a little woman with an issue of blood. She has been to many doctors and only grew worse. I can understand it, because when doctors don't know what to do, they feel compelled to do something. And they did everything wrong. Amen. There was a time, not in that time, but there was a time that if you had a disease or you had something wrong, they thought the best thing to do is get that bad blood out of you. They'd cut you and squeeze it and try to bleed a bunch of blood into a basin. The last thing you need. Today they give you a transfusion of good blood. They just want to get the bad blood out, but no good blood in. They put leeches on you and let them suck you dry. They did crazy things. She had tried many physicians and only grew worse. But she heard about Jesus. And there was a crowd, a throng, pressing on him. And she got down on her hands and knees, evidently. Because she couldn't stand up. She had an issue of blood. And she grew weak. And you see it coming, don't you? You see it coming. Thank God you're on the ball this morning. Hallelujah. Listen. Amen. She said, if I can but touch. Now, I used to think of that like a light socket. Jesus is so anointed. If I plug in. Thank God I got nubby fingers. Can you say amen? If I plug in, power is going to flow. It's the anointing she was trying to touch. No, she wasn't. No, the anointing flowed because she knew something. She knew something about a covering. If I can but touch the hem of his garment. If I can, see, if she grabbed hold of the hem of his garment, you know what she's going to do with that? Oh, I made contact. Woo! I'm healed. No. No, that's not what caused the virtue to flow. See, we got it all wrong. We need God's covering. Woe to those that go down into Egypt and seek a covering, but not of my spirit, saith the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Bible said that he will hide you under his feathers. Pray, under his wings thou art come to trust. Oh, not just the wings of the bird or the eagle or the hen. But the wings, you know what they called the hem with the tapestries on them of the priest? They called it the wings. It was called the wings. It was called the wings. And under his wings, his covering, thou art come to trust. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the shadow. Can you see it? Under the shadow of thy wings. Can you say amen? Psalm 91, with all of its provision and protection. Thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence, amen, that wastes at noonday, nor the plague, for it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. And there's a reason. Because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation, and under his wings thou art come to trust. There shall no evil befall thee all the days of thy life, for he shall give his angels charge over thee, and they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot upon a stone. Oh, how we need his covering. She got down on her hands and knees. She manipulated herself with the last bit of strength she had. She pushed through that crowd. She grabbed a hold of the hem of his garment. And you know what she did? She pulled it over her head just like Ruth did with Boaz. It wasn't just the anointing. She said, if God covers me, if God covers me, I'll be healed. Whatever I need, it's going to be met. If I have his covering, his covering, his covering, under his wings thou art come to trust. How many times, Israel, would I have taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her chicks, but you wouldn't let me? Can you say, man, Mosholamanita? Hallelujah. Where did the joy go? Where did the gladness go? Where did the fire go? Where did the blessing go? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's not sin. It's not Satan. Can you say amen? If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray? No, it's not done there. It's not done. It's not enough. That's why it never did enough, no matter how many of us gathered or where we gathered. Amen. 100,000 Christians can gather the steps of the United States of America, but if they don't have a heart to repent and get cleaned up, we can call on God till the sun goes up and the sun goes down, and America remains the same. Our neighbors remain the same. Our children remain lost. Can you say amen? Because it's not just unified prayer. It's a unity of purpose to be thoroughly right with God. Amen. Amen. So God is for us. If my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. This is repentance. That's what repentance means. Turn from their wicked way. Did you know every way? You can, yes, you can. Please do. Forgive me. I guess we're going to save that last song for really last. Hallelujah. My wife said her legs are getting stiff. We should have chairs for these people. Have we received the offering? You mean you're getting all this without even paying for it? My goodness. For free? Let's finish this sermon, receive the offering, get ready to rejoice. If my people, it's always at the door of the church. It's always us. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness? Psalm 40 and verse 40, 40 and 41. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness? Or Psalm, 40, 78, 40, 41. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness? What did they do to upset God so much, to frustrate his grace, to bypass his blessing, to live like uncared for people? What did they do? How did they provoke him? We're warned about that in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. He said, look at them for an example, lest there be any of you New Testament believers that fail to enter in to his rest. That place of rest is where the battle is his and not yours anymore. That place of rest is where God arises and your enemies be scattered. That place of rest is when you sing hallelujah. Anyhow, you can only do that when you know that you know that God's in control. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Yea, they turn back. And what happened when they turn back? Something happened that no enemy could ever achieve. And they limited the Holy One of Israel.
God said Satan can't, sin can't,
but they can. So what does Satan do? He said, just get them in an attitude of ungratefulness. Get them in an attitude of unfaithfulness. Because if you're ungrateful, you will become unfaithful. It's going to happen. Disqualify them from his blessing, where he can't legitimately bless them. And I have achieved a victory over a people that have a covenant to overcome, and a God who promised them that he would deliver them. And a 10-day journey took 40 years. A 10-day trip took 40 years before God could bring them where he purposed to take them. And they had no GPS. And even if they got where he wanted them to be, they wouldn't go over and possess the land. They became faithless, beaten down, beleaguered. And to everyone that looked at them, they looked God forsaken. But they were not. There's a lot of us that to the people that see our lives, we look like God is forsaken. I know Christians that year after year, Sunday after, not here all the time. Thankfully, thank you, Lord. Amen. What can anyone do if the attitude of the heart never changes? There's nothing, no church will ever be able to do it. No preacher, no pastor, no evangelist. No one, no laying on of hands. It's the attitude that has to change. And until the attitude changes, people humble themselves, own their sin. You've got to own it. If my people called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way. About face is the military sense of repentance. Doesn't mean to cry big alligator tears and go right out and do the same thing. That is not repentance. Repentance is about face. That means, does anybody know what about face is in the military? It says spin on your heels and do a 180 degree turn. God allows for U-turns. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad God allows for U-turns? That's what repentance is. Amen. I'm going down this road. God says go down that road. I know He did, but I'm going down this road. Amen. Whoa, wait a minute. No, I'm not. I'm not going to lose the blessing. I'm not going to open myself to Satan's attacks. I'm not going to walk in defeat any longer. I'm going God's route. Turn from their wicked way. That's repentance. Amen. And the offering is being taken right now. Glory to God being received. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sisters. Until there's repentance in the house of God, there's not going to be revival in the world and communities about us. Until there's rejoicing in here, until the Spirit is not grieved and the Spirit of God is not quenched. Amen. Amen. Because it's going to take the Holy Spirit moving freely and operating through our life. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know. The joy of the Lord is so wonderful. We got to have it. We can't do without it. It's essential. And the joy of the Lord is not about the feeling you get when His presence manifests. The joy of the Lord is knowing that you're right with Him and fellowship is renewed with Him. It's not in the context of a Pentecostal shouting service. It is in the context of deep repentance among the children of Israel. And when they were right with God, He said, listen, when they got right with God and they had that restored relationship with Him, amen, you know what they said? They said, when God turned again, the captivity of Zion, we were as those that dream. Amen. It was too good to be true. My granddaughter, when she got married and I was able to perform the ceremony and all the pressure was on, but it went off without a hitch. And now she's dancing with her grandpa. Amen. We're out there dancing this waltz together, me and my granddaughter that I had just married. Amen. And it went off really good and smooth, and they dropped the rings, but everything was recovered and there was joy and there was, you know, and I said, Ashley, now it's time to have the fun. This is the fun part of this. The pressure's over. This is the fun part. There's a part where the pressure's gone and the pleasure comes. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and at His right hand are pleasure forevermore. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Pleasure, not pressure. If you've got secret sin, you can't have pleasure in His presence. That thing's gnawing on you. Ought to get rid of it. Amen. You ever get a sand spur in your shoe? Just one of those little pieces off of it in your sock. Amen. That's all it takes. One of them in your sock. You got a pair of $200 shoes, but you got that thing in your sock. You walking around, man, you got to pull that bad boy off and try to get that thing out of your sock. Can you say amen? Listen, folks, there are so many things that we need to get out of our life to open the door for God's blessing. And what begins the whole process is a brand renewed sense of gratitude for what He has done for us at Mount Calvary. Can you say amen? Glory to God. What Jesus has done on the cross. What He has done. What He has done. Christians shouldn't need anything else to happen to turn over your honey bucket and to let that joy begin to rise up within you. Praise God. We've been reconciled. reconciled to God, Dale. We have been reconciled unto Him. Every sin has been forgiven. Hallelujah. We stand today as the bona fide children of the Most High God, the only people on this planet that can justifiably say, Father, to the God of the universe. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And have the Holy Spirit bear witness. That's the truth. That's the reality of your new relationship with Him. Very carefully. Let's backtrack for a moment. I want you to look at Deuteronomy in closing. We're almost done. The offering has been received. Deuteronomy 28 said, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above the nations of the earth. He did that for America in the beginning, when it was founded on biblical principles. Judeo-Christian faith was in effect. God did that for this nation, not just for national Israel, but for us. Didn't He do it? He made us one of the greatest, richest, powerful nations in the world. We do not hold that status any longer. We need a revival in America. It needs to start where it always has to start, and that's in the church in America. He said, and all these blessings shall come on thee and shall overtake thee if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed thou shalt be in the city. You can't escape it. You don't have to go try to make it happen. Amen. For years I've seen people chase blessings. Get this right. Blessings will chase you. Amen. 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 And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed thou shalt be. It's not geographical. Doesn't matter where you live. God will find you and find a way to bless you. Amen. Blessed thou. We had a mobile home. Modular. No, it wasn't modular. It was a trailer. We had a trailer. 60 by 12. In a piece of sugar sand acre. Boy, I had a time getting it in. In Dover, which is between Sefner and Plant City, Dover. It's not on the list of high places. I was at a post office getting some mail back in that day, and a lady was asking me, said, where do you live? You heard my accent, because originally I'm from Kentucky. Said, where do you live? I said, in Dover. Where are you from, rather? I said, Dover. She said, the White Cliffs? That area? I said, no. This is white sand, sugar sand, palmettos and rattlesnakes where I live. It's that Dover. It doesn't matter whether you live in some prominent place or some place not as prominent. When I went to work for Tampa Electric, they found out I was from Dover years ago. And they said, I bet you got a broke down car up on blocks in your front yard. And sure enough, my mother-in-law's car was broke down. It wasn't on blocks, but it was sitting broke down in my front yard. But I thought the best way to deal with that is just roll with it. Don't let them see it's not getting your goat. Just go with it. I said, I do. I said, how did you know that? Said, you're from Dover. I said, well, I do have a broke down car sitting in my front yard, but I put a wash tub on top and we're using it for a bird bath. Well, after that, they knew they couldn't get my goats, so they just, you know, I was just that Dover boy from then on. God says, I don't care where you are. These blessings will find you, and they will overtake you. And He said to someone who tried to curse Israel, you can't curse what I have blessed. When we went to Jamaica, amen, the voodoo priest, I was preaching that Sunday morning in Haiti, And the voodoo where we were was strong. It was the strongest influence in the whole area. And so I had Francois Fenelon was my interpreter, and I was preaching about Jesus soon coming and about the power of God and the presence of God and the authority of Jesus' name. And all of a sudden there was this noise like a parade made out of drums and some kind of pipes they were blowing. Anyway, they came blowing these horns and beating these drums, a whole entourage of about 100 people. Voodoo priests leading the procession, and they were carrying something that looked like some kind of crude version of a totem pole. And everybody stopped immediately, and they looked around because it was so distracting and disruptive. And I just stopped preaching because I didn't know what was happening either. We just stood there and watched this, and I thought, but see, the devil distracting. And I turned, I asked Francois, I said, Francois, what does this mean? He said, they are taking those poles to the voodoo cemetery. They're going to plant them up. They're going to beat those drums all night long, calling on evil spirits to come. They want to build a barrier to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're afraid of the light. And I thought, the devil, it looks like he's on the offense, when in reality, he's on the defense. He fights what he fears. Can you say amen? And I thought, he's going to erect barriers against God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, us? Baloney! And the Spirit of God hit me, and I preached with an interpreter that I didn't stop to let interpret. I mean the authority. I felt the Holy Ghost rise up inside of me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I proclaimed Jesus. I said, I won't give you the sermon, but I still remember it because God gave it, and he gave it for them at that place and that time. And we had a mighty move of God and a demoniac delivered in that service just so God could say, I'm the boss here today. Can you say, man? Glory be to God. I'm the boss. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it just hit me of the power and the authority that there is in the Word of God in the mighty name of Jesus. And the devil's no match for him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And they saw it in action. And I was preaching and preaching and preaching. And suddenly it hit me. I haven't stopped for my interpreter to interpret. You're supposed to say something and wait for him to say something in French Creole. And yet he was right beside me. I was standing like this, and he was standing like that just behind me. And he was just, it was like an echo when I was speaking. And I looked at him and stopped. He said, go ahead. And I didn't even stop no more. I couldn't stop now. Hey, amen. I just finished the sermon, and God moved. After the service over, I said, Francois, I said, I'm so sorry. I'm not used to speaking with an interpreter. I'm so sorry. He said, oh, Pastor Venable, do not worry. He said the same anointing that came on you after they passed came on me. He said, God dropped in my heart what you were going to say before you said it. He said, so when you said it, I was already interpreting it. Hallelujah. Where sin doth abound, his grace. Where Satan has a stronghold, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tongues wasn't just for a sign, amen, to the unbeliever on one day, the day of Pentecost. Tongues and interpretation and gifts of the Spirit are for the church to go to war with. Hallelujah. And defeat the enemy and exalt the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm hopelessly Pentecostal because I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe in letting him loose. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because it's not by might nor by power. It's always by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain is going to be removed. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God. So all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. But he said, if you don't, and I'm going to condense this in a hurry. If you don't do this, these curses will come on you. And everywhere there's a blessing, now it's turned to a cursing. And he's talking about God's people, covenant people now. Come on, we're not talking about Babylon. We're talking about Israel. Abraham's seed. Deuteronomy 28 is to Abraham's seed. He said, I put two ways before you to the covenant people. You got a choice to make. You got a choice to make. I've got a choice to make. We can't keep complaining and blaming. We got to make a choice. We got to own it. Where you are today is a result of your choices, not your enemies. Not God. He said, I put two ways before you. It's right here today. Blessing and cursing. Life and death. Choose life. And therefore blessing that you may live. For why will you die, pagan nations? No. Why will you die, O house of Israel? My people. Called by my name. Why will you die, O house of Israel? If you don't listen to me, you don't serve me with gladness of heart. See, gladness of heart is attached to obedience. If you lose gladness of heart, you will cease to obey. And if you do obey, it'll be like some kind of religious robot. It won't be coming from the heart, and God won't accept it until it does come from the heart. We need what the prophet had. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, there be no fruit upon the vine. Can you say no cattle in the stalls? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord and joy in the God of my salvation and my deliverance. Can you say amen? And if I do it, amen, because he's worthy of it, and more than the time that their corn and wine increased, if I do it that way, amen, he's going to show me his salvation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to stand upon those high places and not slip and fall. Wow. Controversially, these cursings shall come on thee. And God pronounced the curses as strong as he pronounced the blessing. He said, I watch over my word to perform it. Not just the parts that we like. All of it. Amen. He says to his covenant people, if you choose that road, these curses are going to come on. They were going to the temple. I got to get this in. They're going to the temple offering those requisite prescribed sacrifices, burning the proper incense with the proper mixture, offering the proper animals for the proper situations. Everything is in religious order. Amen? It's in religious order. And he said, why are we praying and you're not listening? Why are we burning incense and you're not responding? Why are we so religiously adept and why are we so religiously perfect and yet you're not listening? Because see, this is more than just going through the activity. This involves the heart. And man looks on the outward appearance and he sees religious perfection. Amen. Religious practice to the ultimate. But God looks past all that facade. And without it coming from the heart, that's all it is to God. Amen, he looks at the heart. Yes. He knows what's in your heart. Yes. He knows what's in my heart. And he says, I'm looking right at the heart attitude. You're serving the Lord, but you're not doing it with gladness. I require gladness. I require doing it because you love me. You appreciate me. Not just because you fear me and dread me. I want you to serve me for who I am. Not just what I can give you. But what I have given you. Listen carefully. It all pivots. And I said, Lord, what were they doing? What is it that you saw? What did you see in their heart to disqualify them to this degree from your blessing? Because if you saw that, I want to make sure that attitude is not cultivated in my heart. Is that all right with you? When I go to the Bible, if I see somebody under that kind of chastisement, I'm saying, Lord, I don't want the... Listen, I got enough problem. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be frank and earnest. Not from the funny papers either. Listen, I'm going to be frank and honest with you. I got enough trouble with my enemy, the devil. I don't need God whooping on me. Some people, your problem ain't the devil. You don't need to go to learn how to overcome the devil. You need to go somewhere and get a hold of your old flesh. Can you say amen? You need to learn how to crucify your flesh. Amen. No matter how much of God's armor you put on, it's you on the inside. And he don't want you just armored on the outside. He wants you armored on the inside. So I said, Lord, what did they do? What was the attitude that you saw that gave them this kind of warning that you're going to be blessed or cursed? And as sure as these blessings come on you, if you don't listen, these cursings are going to come on you. And when you walk out from under the blessing, you know what happens? Somebody gets the blame. In Israel's life, it was God that got the blame. I get the blame for a lot of people's trouble. They got to blame somebody. That old church down there. And you better be careful blaming God's people. I said, you better be careful. This is God's church. This ain't something I built. This is his people. This is the sheep of his pasture, the people of his hand. Listen to me very carefully. Somebody gets the blame. They accuse God of unfaithfulness. They accuse people of letting them down. Jesus died for you. That's got to mean something to you. Not the preacher. Not those Christians. Not your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Jesus died for you. Your allegiance should be to him. He said, I won't leave you. That's got to be meaningful to you. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. You know what? There's 11,000 down and there's one standing. I want to be that one. How about you? I want to be that one. Why is that one standing? Why is he standing? Because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy habitation. That's where you live, folks. That's not where you visit on Sunday. Or when you're in trouble, it's where you live your life. And under his wings, thou art come to trust. Thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor the terror that comes by night, nor the plague that wastes at noonday. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. For it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Praise the Lord. This blessing is important. This covering is vital. So here's the answer to this. Everybody won't ever go with me into this, but I got to point you in the right direction whether you travel this road or not. I hope your life in God is not as intermittent as church attendance. Don't treat him like you treat his house, his people, his worship, and his word. I make no apology for telling you it's all linked together. Can't love the Lord and not love his word. Can't love the Lord and not love his house. Can't love the Lord and not love his worship. Here's the hardest part. Can't love the Lord without loving his people. Cannot forsake not assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, but do it more and more As you see the day approaching, because you can draw strength from one another and help one another and pray for one another and bear one another's burdens and exhort one another. That means to strongly encourage in right living. And you may not know that you need us, and we may not know how much we need you. The hand never says to the foot, I don't need you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because the hand wants to go get a cold drink of water out of the refrigerator. And the foot says, since you don't need me, see how far you get. God designed you to need me and me to need you.